Greetings in the name of the Lord. We are coming again with another message in this series, Spiritual Sacrifices We Offer to the Lord. Today's message is especially important because it mentions the word sacrifice in connection with spiritual sacrifice. This idea of sacrifice, as I have mentioned, is taken from the Old Testament, from a very important commandment and teaching of the Lord. The Lord had commanded these people of Israel that they were to offer animal sacrifices to God. And this was important to God. It was part of His will that they should offer these animal sacrifices to God. These sacrifices were to serve two important purposes, and we pointed this out. First of all, they were to remind them of their sin before God, the fact that they were sinners, they needed a Savior. Many times people feel very self-righteous, and so in the days of Israel, of course, they felt the same way. They felt that they were very righteous before God, and in reality, they were hopeless, lost sinners. So the law had this purpose of being like a schoolmaster, Galatians tells us, to bring them to their knowledge of sin. Then the second thing that the law did, and Galatians also speaks of this, and that was the law and the offering of sacrifices were an indication of the coming of the Savior. They were a picture of the coming Savior, that He someday would be the Lamb of God, which would take away the sins of the world. And so no animal sacrifice could wash away their sins. No animal sacrifice could bring forgiveness, but it reminded them that someday the Savior would come. And by faith, they looked forward even hundreds or even more than 1,000 years to His coming when He would be offered for their sins. I want us to turn in our thinking today to the offering of ourselves to God, the offering of our lives, our bodies to God. We reminded ourselves before that many times in Israel, the offering of blood sacrifices became a substitute for other heart sacrifices God wanted them to offer. And we ourselves are faced with the same temptation. Very often we offer to God our attendance at church, the various sacraments and other things we go through. We offer these things to God, and these become a substitute even for our own salvation. Many people say, well, if I go to church, if I observe this thing in the church and that thing in the church, then somehow God will accept me into heaven. Our acceptance in heaven is only through the Lord Jesus Christ, when we have truly trusted Him alone as our Savior from sin. We put aside everything else, and we've trusted Him as our Savior from sin. And not only in salvation, but in the Christian life, we make some of these things we do and some of our observances a substitute for the things of the heart God wants us to offer. And now God is speaking to us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, of the offering of ourselves to God. And these are the words He gives us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now the first verse is emphasizing the presentation of our lives and our bodies to God as living sacrifices. He's not saying here that other things are not important, but He is saying that if you go to church, if you give to the church, if you are serving the church in one way or another, but you have not offered yourself to God, that God is not pleased. God cannot accept other things as a substitute for the offering of your life and your body to the Lord. Now, this offering of ourselves is very, very important. For instance, God has given us a mind which can be used in several different ways. and we are choosing how we're going to use our minds. Some of us are wasting minds which God wants to possess and use for His glory. Or we're giving God only part of our attention in our minds. We're giving God only part of our hearts, part of our minds. And so these things are not acceptable to God. If God only has part of ourselves, it is not acceptable to Him. Or if our minds are being used partly for the devil and partly for the Lord. Some people are walking with one foot for the devil, one foot for the Lord. And this is true in our minds as well. It's true in our conversations. It's true in our heart intentions, that sometimes our hearts are not wholly set on the Lord. And even in the use of our bodies, we sometimes are neglecting our spiritual duties in the use of our bodies for God. God wants every part of ourself. Every part of you, God wants. He wants us to give ourselves completely and wholly to Him. And so in our lives, we make a choice. Am I going to live wholly for the Lord? Or will I live partly for the Lord? Or will I live not at all for the Lord? And God is asking in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, a humble, complete presentation of all we are and all we have to the Lord, that the Lord might use our lives for His praise and glory. He's not asking that we be people of great talents and great ability. He's not asking that we be people who are the very notable people as far as our minds are concerned, that we make great achievements and therefore we might be used. He's simply saying, I want you, whoever you are and whatever you are, to offer yourselves to me. The Apostle Paul faced the same thing in speaking about purity. He spoke of this idea of the body belonging to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, we read these words, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which ye have of God?" And then these words, "You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price." He is teaching us here, God owns us, but we need to give ourselves to Him. In other words, it's possible to steal from God what Jesus bought on the cross. Jesus bought us on the cross. He not only bought our salvation, but He bought our very lives. Our lives belong to Him. That's what 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 is teaching. That you are not your own. You are bought with a price. You belong to Jesus, in other words. Give Him your life. Why doesn't He simply take from us this life which belongs to Him? Because He wants it to be a voluntary offering before Him, a voluntary sacrifice. He doesn't want to simply force us to do something, and so we are helpless. And so He says in Romans 12, present your bodies. I could take it from you, but I want you to present it to me. I want this to be a willing sacrifice, something you willingly and carefully and lovingly do because of what I've done for you, and now you present your lives to me. The Apostle Paul realized how this would affect him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, we read these words, "The love of Christ compels us or drives us on, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." And then this phrase, "that they which live should not henceforth live unto or for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." And then in Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, many of you have memorized verse 21, but actually the passage begins in verse 20. And verses 20 and 21 are connected with each other. And in verses 20 and 21 of Philippians we read, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing will I be ashamed, but that now as always," and then this phrase, "Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I repeated that purposely, that you might catch the meaning of his words. And the meaning is that this now is his supreme purpose in life. He's dedicated his life, his body, everything he has, everything he is to God. Every talent he possesses, everything he's dedicated to God. And his life belongs to God. And now his supreme purpose in life is to manifest the Lord Jesus, to exalt him, to raise him up before others. He's not living for himself anymore. He's living for the Lord Jesus. And this happened when he presented himself as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And this is God's desire for each of us, for each of you who are listening on the radio today. You may be a Christian, but you realize if you're honest with yourself before God, you realize in your heart that you're not totally given over to God. He doesn't possess all of you. He only possesses what you want to give to him. And so you're substituting other things for this deep heart sacrifice of the gift and the sacrifice of yourself to God. You've substituted other things for this. And now God is bringing to your attention the need in your life to humbly bow before God and offer your life to him. And I remember again when I was 16 years of age, I attended a youth conference, and this very challenge from Romans 12, 1 and 2 was given to me. And in my own heart that night, as a young 16-year-old young man, just beginning my life, not even finished yet with high school, I realized this deep need in my life, that though I'd been saved for more than a year and a half, I had never really offered my life, my body, everything I had and was to God. And so that night, I went forward in a meeting, and I bowed before God, and I offered my life to him. I would confess I have not done it perfectly, but all my life God has kept that before me, that one night I offered myself to him, and that daily I need to dedicate my life afresh to him, so that he has all of my life. And so I would urge this of you, that today you would humbly and completely offer your life and everything you are to God. May God help you, each one.